This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
Good morning, this is
Computer
Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm TJ.
We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. And you haven't heard that, TJ.
In 5 years.
5 years.
I went into semi-retirement about 5 years ago. From radio, that is. Not from Tab, but from radio. And
it's good to have you back.
It's fun. This is gonna be a good time. I'm looking forward to it.
It will be a good time. So if you guys wanted to talk to TJ, he's here. Feel free to get online. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns.
Sounds awesome. I got a thing from our guy Mike, who does our support work for the show. He's been doing it as long as I've been doing it.
Yep.
And feeding us with support. And he just wanted to throw out an Apple gotcha, just so you know that iOS 14.4.2 has an urgent security patch that needs to be applied. And there is a vulnerability in there that's so serious, they've actually issued enough updates to go back to the iPhone 6.
Oh, boy.
So this is a pretty bad one. And yep. I know that on my Duo application, we use 2FA for everything now.
Right, right.
And Duo is the application we use. And I got a notice yesterday afternoon to update. So it looks like everybody's on the same page. This is a pretty serious exploit.
No.
I don't know what it is, but it's definitely a serious exploit.
It's serious.
It's a serious thing. They don't really tell you exactly what or how or why, but it's another one of these vector exploits where they drop some payload in, and if the door is open and it's there, you're infected and it's a problem. So basically all these vulnerability updates
Right. Basically
close that door
Yeah. So
it can't execute.
We should just get off the internet.
Well, yeah. Something to be said for that, too.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter's approach. So, as usual and customary, we do have some technology news. Where did you want to start?
I want to start, actually, because I think this is very cool. As you know, I'm an Elon Musk fanboy.
Oh, yeah.
I've got to admit that.
I am now, too.
I own a Tesla, yep. And I'm on my second Tesla, as a matter of fact, just because I absolutely love the car,
mm-hmm.
love the technology,
yep.
And I'm also a big SpaceX nerd guy, too. I love watching all the launches.
Yeah.
And the landings.
How they stick the landing. Well, they haven't stuck them lately, but they were doing some pretty cool landings.
71. They're up to 71 or 72.
That's pretty good.
They've got a really good track record there.
Yeah.
But what they're doing with their SpaceX program is they're doing something called Starlink. And
Right. They're
creating their own network of atmosphere satellites to allow them to communicate and give you some pretty good speeds as far as what you can get for latency and things like that would normally not be good in a satellite.
Right.
And they've gotten, I think they're up to, I think it's around 1,500 satellites so far.
That's
1,300 satellites.
Big net of satellites.
And so they're also trying to get into the Arctic market.
It doesn't seem like a very good market. I mean,
I thought that too. A lot of the Starlink satellites they've got are already up and running and working.
Yeah.
But it turns out that there's a very lucrative government project that's going on because they want to blanket the top of the world with satellites as well. And OneWeb, their competitor, they have like 46 satellites up there.
I mean, yeah,
it's not even close. But they're going for that polar market to try to take over that area.
All right.
So we're going to have to see where it goes. But I have a funny feeling that Starlink is probably going to just take over all of it. Because OneWeb, they have to buy launch time. They have to buy single-use, no reusable rockets.
Right.
And
Elon's got that cornered.
SpaceX just sits there and just launches these things like they're candy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And if you get the government to pay for it, I mean, that is what Elon's best at.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So it's one of those things that I was very surprised because I haven't seen anything really going on with OneWeb lately because mm-hmm. they actually went bankrupt once.
Oh.
Shh. Nobody knows.
No. Shh. Don't say anything. Well, 46 satellites. What are they going to do?
Yeah, we're going to see what's going on.
I got one for you, T.
Go ahead.
So here in Connecticut, we've got the largest hedge fund in the world run by Ray Dalio.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got an article that I found. I think it was in Forbes magazine. I'll put a link up there for you. Oh, Yahoo Finance. I found this. He sees good probability that Bitcoin gets outlawed. Yay, I'm all for it.
I've been saying that for a long time because, you know, my biggest reason for it is if you didn't have Bitcoin, you'd have none of this hacking going on. You'd have none of this encryption. It wouldn't be worth doing because you can't get paid.
Correct. You know, when you
anonymous payments, an anonymous payment system is ridiculous. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, and I hope he's correct. So basically, you know, Dalio points out that in his upcoming book that the U.S. government made it illegal to privately own gold in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Same problem. Right. So in this case, Bitcoin, fake money, is killing us when it comes to these ransomware attacks. So I hope he's right. I'll put the link up here for you as far as what his prediction has been. The biggest hedge fund guy in the world makes a prediction like this. maybe people will listen.
And yet yesterday,
I know.
Elon announced that they're going to be able to pay. You can buy a Tesla now with Bitcoin.
Yeah, and you know who's going to buy them? Those ransomware guys.
Yeah, because they got all the money.
He's selling to all the criminals. So, you know, I hope Ray's right and Bitcoin is worth nothing like it should be.
Yeah, speaking of ransomware, I did have another one. I'll jump past the one I was going to talk about and move on to this one.
Yeah.
A company called Spectralogic, just to show the problems with if you do get ransomware. Mm-hmm. This company got hit about 5-6 months ago in November.
All right.
And luckily, they had backups that were offsite.
Those are the IoT companies, Spectralogic?
Not sure.
Okay,
not sure what they specialize in, but they're out in Boulder, Colorado.
Yep.
And they were just, it's just like a tale of caution that they were able to get away with not paying a $3.5 million ransom because they did have things offsite and they were able to reconstruct their entire network from their backups.
Right.
Not quite current. But he also mentioned, and we can dovetail right into this, the FBI was heavily involved with helping them try to track down exactly what happened.
Nice.
And they did find out who actually hacked them, which I thought was pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a
couple of guys in Nigeria. those guys are pretty active.
Yeah. And also the Philippines and, of course, the Eastern Europe has always been a super hot spot for hacking.
Yep.
But they were able to help them. And I know that when we recently went through the exchange compromise that was ripped through the entire world.
Yes. Thank you, Microsoft.
You talked about that on the air a couple weeks ago.
Many times.
And the FBI got involved with that and actually sent us a whole bunch of great information on
what to look for.
On what to look for and how to remediate it. And there were actually additionally some better ideas than we even got from Microsoft.
Of course.
So I thought the FBI really stepped up.
Yeah.
They really did. I thought they did a great job. We were in contact with them for,
a couple of weeks.
It was great.
Yeah.
But that was the first time we've actually had dealings with them at a ransomware level.
Well, because it was so huge. I mean, everybody and their brother is impacted because Microsoft left the door open for a decade. I mean, everybody was wide open. Thanks, Microsoft. And the FBI is like, well, we probably should let people know what to do.
Yeah, they did a great job. They really did. I got to say, when you start to get these calls, and it's like, this is Special Agent Jones from the New Haven Bureau. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Is this real?
Yeah, okay.
It was very real, and they were very much on top of the game and concerned about our progress to make sure that we had protected our clients, which we had.
Yep.
But it was a great experience. So I have to say, go FBI. I mean, really,
definitely.
They were on the game.
And I just can't imagine all the phone calls that poor guy was making. In other news, we talked about net neutrality all the time. And, of course, California recently enacted their net neutrality laws. Unfortunately, they didn't think it through all the way. Are we surprised?
No.
No. Of course, net neutrality tries to treat every packet equally. It just sounds so warm and fuzzy and squishy. However, that's not how a network works. All right? Every packet is not equal. Some packets have to be prioritized. Some packets can be deprioritized. And by doing it the way they're talking about it, you can have the exact same problem that other states have had, where they had crazy laws that were put in the 1910s to protect the Morse code operators or the telegraph operators. So nobody could put lines up on their poles. And that's why we can't do that now, because of laws made by ding-dongs back then.
Oh.
Net neutrality is the same thing.
We still have the Tennessee power thing that FDR enacted in place.
Yeah, it's crazy. We need to get these politicians away from our technology. So they want this net neutrality. And, of course, California is now worried. The officials of the Department of Veterans Affairs are wondering if they can, if this new law is going to affect the VA giving veterans the free phone service they were getting on their telephones. They get reduced or free service.
As they should.
As they should. It's the least they could do, for crying out loud, at the very least.
Exactly.
But, of course, at net neutrality, we all must be treated equally awful. lowest common denominator when it comes to government. So they're worried that this new law is going to have an unintended consequence. So, of course, what are they going to start doing in net neutrality? They're going to have to do what? Loopholes. All right.
Of course.
And so
start writing exceptions.
Writing exceptions.
Just write exceptions to the law.
Right. This is how all these guys work. And, of course, how's that going to work? Someone's going to come to them and say, hey, buddy, can you write me an exception, a loophole? I'll contribute to your campaign.
I've got this lobbyist over here. He's going to help you just a little bit in your next campaign.
Yeah.
Can you get this in there for me?
So, guys,
we're going down to K Street and we're going to.
Yeah. So we'll make it equally miserable. And then those who pay extra will get to not have to pay. Net neutrality. Welcome to the future.
You got to love it.
So we'll put that link up there, too, for you to read. It's from Politico. But the actual father, or the guy who coined net neutrality, is really concerned about this type of issue.
And so rightfully.
Yep. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
I'm TJ.
And TJ's the guy who was here 5 years ago with us.
for 20 years before that, too.
Yeah, it's true. sitting in for Bob, who's away today and taking a day off, well-deserved.
We just thought it'd be fun to come back again for a day just to kind of see it, especially here in the Tab studios, because
yes.
I saw Eric putting all this stuff together last year, and he's put quite a bit of time and effort into this whole process and getting Facebook Live and getting the cameras all set up the way they're supposed to be and all the feed work that we have to do to get it back to the studio.
Back to Farmington, yeah.
And, the studio's in Farmington. And it's actually really, it's a really cool setup. It's a pleasure to actually sit here for the first time and be on air and do this. It's really kind of cool.
We're glad to have you. We're here to 11 o'clock. We got wide open phone lines, guys. Four lines wide open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Feel free to get online. It's usually a good time to do it in the first hour. By the second hour, we're all jammed up. As we wait for your calls, what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about self-driving cars? You want to talk about some of the, what do you want to
Well, you know me. I'll talk about Tesla all day long.
I know you will. Well, self-driving is a good thing. I mean, I was talking to some friends last night about the fact that, you know, when you turn on your self-driving capabilities, even my wife's minivan, it has the same technology or similar technology, it's much more relaxing to drive long distances when the car is going to keep you in the lane. You have to worry about veering.
It is very much more relaxing. One of my sons lives in Maine, and we go up there frequently.
Right.
And it is kind of amazing that I'll get on at 84, and right. I'll flip it on autopilot.
Right.
And I probably have to pay. I pay attention because every 20 seconds the Tesla wheel makes you jiggle the wheel, so
right.
you know what's going on.
Right.
But you can drive. Of that 3 hour drive, I really have real interaction with the car
right.
for about 6 minutes.
Yeah, it just does everything.
You're just kind of watching. It's a very relaxing trip. It's not tense at all. It knows its surroundings.
Right.
And Tesla's 360 degree aware.
Right.
So when you're on autopilot, one of the latest things with the newest releases they've been coming up with mm-hmm. is human tendency is that when you come up against an 18-wheeler,
yeah.
you're always going to try to move yourself to the left and like ride the left lane to keep that distance.
Okay.
Old autopilot never did that. So you would be like within 8 inches of a truck and you're sitting going, whoa, that's close.
Yeah.
And with the new technology, they've actually got it to the point where it sees where the truck is. It knows the length of the truck. It moves over to the acceptable lane limit and then drives and speeds up to get past it and then adjusts for it.
Nice.
Back in the middle of the lane again.
Nice.
It's almost scarily smart when you're driving with
it. So it'll do that for you automatically.
Automatically.
See, mine doesn't do that.
No.
I don't think I'd want
it
to.
Yours has lane, just looking at the lane. But
yes.
One of the coolest things, I've only done this once, and it was to go to my nephew's house out in northern Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And it was really cool because you can hit navigate on autopilot, and what it will do is if you have nav plugged into a destination,
mm-hmm.
it will do exit-to-exit driving for you, which means I got on at 84.
Right.
I had to switch to 290. I had to switch to 495, and when it got to the end of the exit at 495, it beeped at me and said, okay, you take control back.
That's awesome.
And we actually did it where we went the entire length of the ride, and
right.
it was, well, my wife was a little worried as we went through some of the curves getting onto 495, because
yeah.
as you know, from 90 to 495, it gets a little squirrely.
A little hairy. Yeah.
But it handled it.
There's just something about a car turning itself that it is a little freaky.
Yeah, and one of the things that I don't really get involved with is summon. Because I still think it's kind of like a parlor trick.
Yeah.
That makes me a little nervous. Summon, for those of you that don't know Tesla terms, what that means is the car will come to you if you ask it to. So
right.
it knows where lot. You are in a parking lot.
Yeah.
Or in its simplest form, summon allows you to move your car without you in it backwards and forwards, or like park it in a garage. Like if you have a very tight garage, mm-hmm. summon will allow you to park your car in the garage, and it will do it without you in the car.
It's cool.
And the car, I've practiced yeah. with it. With my old Tesla, I did it. The new right. Tesla, they're supposed to be even smarter. But I haven't really utilized that feature, so I'm definitely no expert on it. But it's some of the stuff that's coming up. We're supposed to have full self-driving by the end of June.
I heard that.
June 21.
And that's level 5. You're going to go from 2 to 5. You're skipping.
Correct. 3
it
and
does
4.
Sound kind of musky.
Now,
he'll do that.
Level 2 means basically driving with assistance. And
yeah.
then level 3 is more aware. Number 4 is it will get you basically on and off the road safely.
Yeah.
And 5 is full autonomy. It's just right. basically the car. You could let the car go by itself and have it go pick you up at the airport.
Right. It's Kit.
Yeah,
it's Knight Rider.
It's Knight Rider.
It's Knight Rider.
That's one of the reasons why I replaced my car early, though, is because the newer the refresh models of S and X,
yeah.
they went to that yoke style that Kit used to have.
Yeah.
I don't want a yoke. I want a steering wheel.
And they weren't so sure that was actually legal to do that, but I guess they did finally approve it.
They must have, because it was in the build.
Yes.
And that's why I jumped on earlier.
I want a wheel. I don't want to always keep my hands. I like a wheel.
Plus, on the minus side, my Tesla was one of those Teslas that had the million rights to the RAM.
Oh, yes, the CF card. They built it on a CF card.
Yeah, and after a million reads and writes, basically what it did is that things started failing. And my car actually bricked on me.
Oh,
it bricked. Like it had to be put on a flatbed, taken down to New Milford, and had the service done to it, and then bring it back.
Bring it back. Yeah, that's the one drawback. When a device like that fails, it really fails. let's go to John and Avon. Let's see what John's got cooking. You there, John?
Hey, I just was hearing you talk about driverless cars, and I have a book recommendation.
Sure.
Friend of mine, Car Buff, told me about and found it quite interesting. It's called Why We Drive.
Why We Drive.
By Matthew Crawford.
Is it talking about why we don't want driverless cars?
He gets into that it will change your life more than you think it will.
Yeah.
And there's something about driving that we should not be so easily ready to give up.
I'm totally with you. Like I still have a car that's a manual. I love driving a manual, and it's a whole.
Your car's a manual?
Not the truck, but the
Little car.
The little car.
The roller skate.
Yeah, the little Mazda, and it is a lot of fun to drive a manual.
I mean,
if you don't, and also nobody's going to steal it because they can't figure out how to drive it.
Exactly.
But it is a lot more fun to drive that car than to drive a regular car. But again, if you have to go long distances. And that's a tiring thing. You actually don't get as tired when the car does most of the work.
You do not. That is a fact.
Not a lot less to worry about, you know? So we'll put that link up as far as that book recommendation. Can you give it again? Or did you already find it, too?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, he's already found it.
Yep.
Why We Drive. Yeah.
Why We Drive.
One of the things I remember that made a lot of sense to me in the book is that when you're driving, it's the one thing that you can't do anything else doing.
Yeah, you're
so
focused.
We much want to fill our time with doing busy stuff, and this is the one time when you can't do anything else. You have to just focus on the road, and it's sort of liberating in a way.
It's a good point, you know, especially with news. I'm a big news talk radio junkie, so when you're driving, you can actually focus on what you're listening to and focus on the road. It is definitely.
Oh, well, I'm one of those guys. I actually love to drive. Yeah. I love being on the road. Mm-hmm. I love doing open road trips, as anybody who knows me. I will drive. If you want me to drive cross-country, tell me you need a car driven cross-country. I'll take
You'll
it next
it.
Week.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I just enjoy being out there and doing it. But I see where you come from, where there's certainly relaxation to it that I understand. Stand for sure,
right.
But I do like self-driving.
Yeah,
and I think the show. Thank you,
John.
Thank you.
I also think when we get to 5G, when it actually works, and 5G's out there, and all of our cars are talking to each other like packets on a network, we'll not need as much insurance. There won't be as many lawyers out there having to deal with accidents because there won't be as many accidents.
Because absolutely true.
That's all going to be a great thing to help us, and we're not going to let those nuts that drive up and down the highway. They literally, you can push a button and the state police could just probably slow you right down. You know, I mean, this it'd be much safer because the highways are nuts. I don't know about you. I mean, maybe I'm getting to be a fogey, but the highways are nuts out there.
Oh, they are. And one of the things that is going to prevent a rapid growth of this, though, and adoption is V2V. It's called vehicle-to-vehicle communication, where basically it allows cars to talk to each other within about a 100-foot radius.
I'll take it.
So that they know what the car is going to do. Like when they come to an intersection, the cars will auto-negotiate who's going.
I love it.
And until you have four cars at an intersection that are all V2V enabled, you don't have it. You have chaos still.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of road work
that
needs to be done before we're actually going to be able to pull this off.
It's coming. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, guys. Feel free to get online. We're going to take a break for news, and then we'll get to, we have two lines open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we've talked about has been posted live by Mike G over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you follow us on Facebook over at Tab Computer Systems and you're not in Australia, Mark Zuckerberg might deem the newsworthy. It might get into your newsfeed. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
I'm TJ.
And that's TJ. Yes, it's TJ. He's back. A little hiatus, 5-year hiatus.
I took a little 5-year break.
Yeah.
Now I'm back.
It's good to have him back for today. Bob's on vacation today.
And I thought it would be fun to come in here and fill in for a little while and just see if I still got the chops to do this thing or not.
Sure.
So I think we're going to find out the hard way. I probably don't, but we're going to give it a whirl.
Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. You got a couple lines open for you on this lovely Saturday morning. I know it's lovely out there. And you want to get out there and rake the yard, but don't do it. Len Giddix will tell you not to rake your yard. You're just going to get the weed seeds planted in your yard, so don't rake it.
They just came and thatched my yard yesterday, the whole thatching and stuff. So that's going to give me weeds, you're
telling
me?
Yes, sir. Yeah, you just gave the air and the weed seeds, the soil and contact and light that it was asking for.
Man, you just sounded like Len right there.
Did I really?
Yeah.
Well, he's a smart man. Let's go to your call. He saved me a weekend. Let's go on to Dave.
Yes, he did.
Dave in Bristol. What's going on, Dave?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Kicking and screaming. I've got one for my favorite Windows 10.
Uh-huh.
I utilize a label writer from Dymo.
Yep.
I use one at work and I use one at home, and one is a little older than the other. When Windows 10 came along, I was able to get updated updates for Dymo, and everything was fine until a couple of weeks ago, when after an update from good old Windows 10.
No, from Microsoft. Windows 10 is just the thing that was updated. Microsoft sent you that good old update.
Okay.
Let's make sure you focus on who the culprits are.
Microsoft.
Yes.
Microsoft.
Yep.
Copy that. Microsoft, in their wisdom, did something. Anyway, what happened was I went to print something out, and the printer spit out a label, but nothing was printed on it.
Right.
So I went back to Dymo, and lo and behold, there was now a compatibility problem with between Dymo and Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they did was give me the instructions to delete the last Microsoft update, which
right.
I did, and it worked.
Yep.
Okay.
Of course, you know, my computer said, Microsoft, Dave went and deleted what you put in, so of course they put it right back in again. I was fine for a couple of days.
Yeah.
So I went through that again, and then I did a little digging around, and lo and behold, there was a way to stop Microsoft from sending me updates.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you can hide just that one update as well, if you wanted to do that. You could hide that one update.
I didn't know.
So it'll just ignore it, but it's not an easy thing to do. It's not like in the olden days of Windows 10, before I believe it was the September release last year, you could actually just go to that update that was unapplied and say, hide it, meaning I don't want that update to ever come through.
Right.
Now you can do it, but it still goes through gyrations. And I can try to find a link for you, and we can have Mike post it on how to actually walk through 10 to actually hit that and hide the release so that that particular KB won't be installed.
Right.
Well, you gentlemen will get a kick out of this. Microsoft apparently figured out that I'd stopped getting updates.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So they sent me this very polite reminder yesterday, and I bounced right out of that. Well, this morning, I fired up the computer, logged in, and walked away, and by the time I came back, it had found a way to
apply the updates.
Apply the updates.
They are awful.
They are. And in some cases,
Microsoft,
it would be considered.
What is it with them? Now, I can imagine that Dymo sells a lot of these things.
They sure
and
do.
I guess the onus is going to be on them to try to figure out how to, the beast.
No, the onus, Dave, unfortunately, is on geeks like us. So basically, we have got 8,000 or 9,000 seats out there, and all of them are having the issues that you're describing. And they come calling to us about how to fix it, and we're like, we don't know what Microsoft is doing. They keep breaking it. So the onus is always seems to be on everybody but the people involved. But yes, Dymo's going to have to come up with a solution to work around Microsoft. Good luck.
Or you do run into it. Like you said, there are probably a million people that are affected by this problem.
Thank you.
And for example, the big problem that they had 2 weeks ago with printer drivers and a release was mostly related to HP drivers.
Right.
And somehow some kind of incompatibility that they never described. Now, that was really, that
awful.
Infected millions. Our help desk was buried
for
2 weeks.
You get a blue screen of death after you try to print.
And it was nasty. And they fixed it in another patch. And luckily, that's really calmed down because they did address the issue. So I think you'll probably see it fixed in another release.
Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, you can't ship anything, so you can't get paid. Thanks, Microsoft.
Well, I can keep doing this delete thing,
But again, you shouldn't have to do that. Imagine
you
if you had an operation with 15 Dymo printers trying to print labels to put on your boxes to ship out to whatever, and Microsoft is not helping.
It hasn't been the same since Windows 3.1, I'm telling you.
Hasn't been the same since since OS 2.
So, can I make a quick comment about Tesla before I hang up?
Sure. Absolutely.
I wish I hadn't deleted the link, and I don't know how I got there, but I was on a YouTube by recommendation of somebody to watch this very drunk couple trying to put gasoline into a Tesla. Right into the cover was open, and they're trying to shove gasoline into it. It's pouring down the side and on the ground.
Wow.
And they could barely stand up. And I what I didn't see was the Tesla blowing up when they actually tried to start it.
It probably wouldn't. It has no sparks.
Yeah, there's no sparks. That's actually funny.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've seen the videos of people with gasoline are just as problematic, too, putting gas in their gasoline cars. So.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Call,
I appreciate your help.
You got it, sir.
And I just sent the link over to Mike to post, so you can get it there, Dave, on how to temporarily hide those.
Yeah, and anybody else out there, I mean, we almost would almost advise that you almost need to delay most Microsoft updates, because clearly the B team is involved with updating the operating system these days, not the A team, because they have been just crushing us with these messes that they're creating.
I usually wait until I see a cumulative update come through, and they call it Patch Tuesday, because for the most part, if you have automatic updates turned on every Tuesday night, you're going to get whatever patches they might release that Tuesday.
Right.
That could be good. It could be great if it's a problem. It can also be terrible if it does things like this out of the blue and it affects all your machines.
And the other issue is, right, so they could be actually patching holes that are security exploits that, of course, they wouldn't tell you they're doing, which is good. We don't want to know the hole they're patching, because that's why the Exchange issue was such a big deal, because we knew the hole that was out there. They let the cat out of the bag somehow. So these updates could also protect you from their problems in their operating system. So it's always a cutting-edge sword. Which side do you want to be on? The one that your bank account gets drained because Microsoft didn't patch, or the one where your bank account doesn't get drained because they did patch, but you can't print?
And you can't ship, and therefore you're going to go bankrupt, and you don't have any money, so there'd be no money in your bank account. So then where do you go? I mean, at that point, where do you go?
Yeah. you say to yourself, maybe computers aren't the best thing.
I guess you just become a Luddite, turn everything off, and live in a woods. I don't know.
Some people might be happier. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Lines are wide open on this lovely Saturday morning. Feel free to get online, and we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. TJ's here. It's been 5 years,
hey,
but he's here sitting in for Bob. So feel free to get online. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
I'm TJ.
And we are going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We have four lines wide open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. So feel free to get online. And we wanted to bring up something because Carmen Filaramo, our digital camera guru, who is now retired and enjoying the sunshine, sent me an email because last week we talked about inkjet printers and how much trouble they are and how expensive it can be to deal with the ink and how messy it can be, because we had callers calling in with issues with inkjets. And he reminded us of a way to get a much better solution from your inkjet printing, and they call them eco tanks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Epson's got one.
Epson makes them. That's the one I have experience with, and I have an eco tank at home that I bought about a year ago. We use an eco tank over in our project area,
right?
And they are amazing. They're super cheap. They're not really super cheap to buy, but the consumables are super cheap.
Yeah. Even the tank itself, like an ET 4750, Carmen says was $250.
Yeah, I think mine was around $350 or something like that.
Yeah.
Not a $99 printer. But still, the quality that you get out of it is amazing. The ease of filling them is easier than an inkjet cartridge, believe it or not.
In the old days.
Yeah, in the old days. Yeah. It's really, really simplistic when you think about it. It's just tanks of ink that you fill, and it's got a little nozzles on there, and it sprays the ink across the page. It dries by the time it comes out of the printer,
right?
And the biggest thing is it's super good and it's super cheap,
and it barely uses the ink. You say
it sips ink. It's amazing. I bought a spare set of cartridges when I bought my printer a year ago, and I'm laughing at myself because they're still sitting there. I haven't even begun to
eat. And we print a lot,
and I print quite a bit at home too.
Yeah.
Very surprised, just very surprised at how well they work. And if you're sick of paying $60 for a set of inkjet cartridges, check out the
Epson Eco Tanks.
Yep. Absolutely worth it.
We'll put a link up there for you guys to take a look at that. Also, we wanted to make sure you knew you got your shot.
I got my shot.
I'm getting my shot tomorrow. So get the vax, Jack. All right.
Absolutely get your vaccine.
Get that done. Get out there. It's really easy.
We're in the top three in the country. Connecticut is.
Yeah.
Top three in the country of vaccination, number of vaccinations.
Smart.
And the fact they rolled back to 16 plus at April 1st.
Right.
That's amazing when you think about how many vaccines that really means.
Yep. All my wife and I did was button smash CVS app, and we got our appointment.
Button smash? What's
I'm trying
that?
To be cool. The kids, they button smash. I'm trying to act hip and young.
I never button smash. Room. I'm so old.
That's what the kids all say too.
Crazy.
So
speaking of vaccine and everything that's going on with the vaccine, it looks like the world is starting to open up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Out in Silicon Valley,
yep.
Basically, Facebook, Uber, and Microsoft are actually starting to call their workforce back.
Oh, interesting.
So Twitter actually, Jack Dorsey had come back and said at Twitter and said he was now going to have a forever remote workforce.
Sure.
But it sounds like he might be walking that back, like he walks back almost everything he says anyway.
Yeah.
But it looks like Facebook was also taking that stance and. It looks like the Zucker man wants people back in the office.
Right.
And I know from us, we were abided by the 50% rule here at TAB all throughout the pandemic as far as the way we worked our workforce. And it's really, you miss people.
Yeah. You miss human contact.
You just miss people. It's just the human contact and the culture and being together and working as a team. It's definitely something that I don't think as a society we'd want to lose that.
No.
And I'm really hoping that as we get through this and as people start to return to work, they realize that.
Yeah.
You know, it's that camaraderie and that culture. You really don't want to let that go.
No. And the issues too, that there's massive security issues with you going home working on a laptop. And you're logging into your insurance program for your customers and clients, and your ninth grader is going to go sit at it to do his homework, and whatever else he's going to do on that computer. You know, the security consequences of working from home and not having the infrastructure put in place to protect those machines, proper antivirus, proper web defense, email defense, all the technologies that would be sitting on a business machine are not there when you're at home. And you're risking my data, you're risking your company data, you're risking your clients because you're doing it. So many companies didn't want to spend the money on buying their own employees those machines. So our data is, I think, massively at risk thanks to this pandemic. We're going to find ramifications that have gone on for a long time. It'll be, this company's workforce had this type of issue or that type of issue is going to be coming up. So we got to be careful with what we're doing working from home. And you have no support at home. So you have nobody sitting next to you in your cubicle when the printer doesn't work to say, hey, Bob, how do I get this printer working? You got to call your help desk. And that's also massively putting a weight on IT staff because they can't troubleshoot your home network, your home printer that you have, and your home workstations along with all the business technology you have. It's a mess. It's very difficult.
It's very difficult. It's like dealing with a home environment is a whole different animal than dealing in a corporate environment.
Right.
No question about it. It's much more difficult. Google as well, by the way, they're also bringing their workforce back.
Yeah, so if all these IT companies are going to be doing it, we're going to be seeing it here more often locally too. I mean, I heard anecdotally Travelers is going to be bringing folks back. But the minimum, they're going to be bringing it back, I guess, March 29th, but you have to do a minimum of 3 days. So it's one of those things where they're trying to get you to, you can't just kind of pop in and pop out like you like. It has to be something more real. I would think Hartford would really need to get people to come back to work because it's got to be a ghost town.
I don't know. Traffic's been picking up lately in the area too, though.
Driving through it.
Well, that's always a question. Fingers crossed on that one.
Right.
But I guess we're going to have to just see. I mean, everybody's talking May of this year is, you know, really when you're going to start to see it turn, especially in Connecticut.
Right.
So I've got my fingers crossed that by July, things will be kind of just shaken out and be not. We'll probably never go back to the old normal.
Yes, we will.
You think we will?
Yes, come on.
I don't know.
We're going to go back. Everyone says that. We're all going to go back to the old normal. What? You can't be wearing 15 masks every day. We definitely need to go back to the real normal. We're all getting our shots. I'm running out tomorrow to get my shot. My wife is. I know lots of folks that are getting these shots. So get out there and do it. Do your part. Small business, local business needs us to stop by. You know, they need traffic. So get out there and do your part.
And support those restaurants.
Yeah.
Support those restaurants, man. Those that have survived, they need your help always.
Yeah. And again, the small retail shops, for some reason, those small retail shops were shut down, but you could go to a Costco or you could go to a Target. But for some reason, you couldn't go to a boutique that sold whatever they sold. For some reason, they had to be shut down. That doesn't make any sense to me.
No, there's a lot of things that were just...
Yeah.
Didn't make a lot of sense to me then. Still don't make a lot of sense to me. But This is a computer talk show, so we're going to go with that.
So feel free to get online, guys. We have four lines wide open. I know you guys are all raking your lawn, but Len said you didn't have to. So feel free to get online with us and get your technology questions in. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll do our best to get all your questions answered for you. TJ's here. It's been 5 years since he's been here. We got to give him something to do.
Yeah, stump me. I love it.
We always threaten that, you know, if all the questions have been answered. Occasionally it's happened where there are no calls. We just assume all the computer problems have been fixed. And it's usually because Microsoft hasn't released an update. That's usually the reason. But feel free to get online. We'll talk to you guys about whatever you want to talk about. Cutting the cable, streaming, any of your technology issues. We're here for you to answer those questions. Everything's posted live over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works.
And you actually did, you took that domain, right?
We did.
So the name of the show.com will get you here.
It will get you there. And if you like us on Facebook, we're over at WTIC's Facebook page. We're broadcasting live. So feel free to get online there. And of course, we're on Tab's Facebook page, but everything we post is over at Tab's Facebook page. If you like us there and Mark Zuckerberg deems it newsworthy and you're not in Australia, it might get to you. Although I guess they worked that out between Australia.
They did. Yeah, they figured out how to get paid.
Yeah, then they should get paid.
And they should get paid because they're using your feeds, they're using your news, and you're not. Well, that's a whole. I'm not even going to go there.
Well, they should go. We should go there because actually Microsoft's trying to step in there too, right? Microsoft's kind of got some weird opinion about that whole thing too. They're pushing hard for them to get paid.
You know, there's a whole thing with Microsoft and how they're really what they're trying to get is subscribers.
Yeah.
Microsoft really wants subscribers for life. And that was the onus of O365. That was the onus of what they're doing, pushing the Edge browsers hard as they are, because they really want eyes on the prize kind of thing.
And paying, I think,
you're going to see it. Yeah. And if we don't have any calls after the top of the hour, too, one thing, I'm just going to drop this bomb and leave it.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about NFTs. And if you want your hair to melt, listen in after 10 o'clock, because NFTs are the strangest thing I've ever heard of, and all of a sudden they're worth millions of dollars.
Ooh, like Bitcoin?
NFT.
Are they more real?
It is. Oh, it's so like Bitcoin, but it's on the Ethereum line. Well, we'll get into it, because it makes absolutely no sense, and I don't understand it, but that's not unusual.
We'll talk about it. We'll be back.